This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Who would be a Wolves fan, eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Flaps in the shot. What a goal!
Oh, hello everyone. It's Friday night. Little Dan here, Wolves Fancast, part of the 90 Meter Network. And I don't want to put the guy on the spot, but considering he's been gone for a few months, two podcasts in a week on the back of a Man United victory, is that coincidence or?
I'm just jumping on the bandwagon, mate.
We're back. Europe's back on. Passports are being renewed. I know he was on the post-match podcast earlier on in the week, but obviously things have digested a bit more since. How do you think we genuinely played against United? Were we outstanding or are United literally beyond a shadow of the former selves?
I thought we was really good. I thought we was absolutely fantastic. And obviously, all the pundits are going to say, oh, but Man United wasn't the best. Man United are struggling. Man United are poor, this, that and the other. But we made them look poor. We controlled that game. It was a fantastic. It's got to be one of the best 90-minute performances from Wolves in 3 or 4 years, easily.
Bold. I mean, I think we all know. I don't know how good he's got his GTA Fancast on YouTube at the moment, but Man United with their current formation at 4-2-2-2, it was always going to play into our hands, wasn't it? Nelson Semedo looked like a flipping
Cafu.
Portuguese Cafu, didn't he? He was literally, it was like easy one of the front runners for man of the match. And obviously, like Neves, Moutinho had outstanding games, but Nelson Semedo was just a constant threat across that 90, wasn't he? Jadon Sancho was just pocketed defensively and didn't stand a chance defensively against Nelson. And Luke Shaw, every time Nelson went one on one against him, I was screaming, beat him, because you could just see that Luke Shaw had nothing to come up against him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be too disrespectful to Man United. I need to apologise in advance as well, because my dinner has literally only just turned up an hour and a half late. So I might be eating as we're talking. But it was a men against boys. Honestly, like, me and you know, Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo is the modern day GOAT. You know, we're not shy in admitting that. To get the opportunity to see him in the flesh, and he was absolute pony.
Yeah.
He was terrible. Max Kilman
pocketed him.
Was light work for him.
Literally, that last 10 minutes of the 90, it was Cristiano Ronaldo just trying to mech himself, get involved in the game to get those plaudits as he normally does. Get his name on the score sheet, steal the headlines with, you know, another clutch goal by Ronaldo, that sort of thing. But everything that he threw up against our defence, and particularly Kilman, I mean, I put that video up yesterday, that soft wrestling video calling Max Kilman the Rock, and that picture of him with just when he sat Ronaldo down on his arse, it was just, it can't be far off an England call up. I know we're biased and stuff, but Ben White, Max Kilman, I don't know what more these guys can do to oust Tyrone Mings from that England squad.
Well, I mean, you look at Mings' performances. He's not playing particularly well himself. Max Kilman surely can't be far behind him now in the England reckoning. And yeah, we might be a little bit biased, but you look at other English centre-backs that are knocking about at the minute. Even take, all right, let's say Harry Maguire and John Stones. John Stones having a decent season, but Harry Maguire is having a very poor season. Now, would you put Harry Maguire head and shoulders above Max Kilman at the moment?
I mean, you can't, from on a Wolves podcast, we just can't even answer that genuinely, can we? Because the rest of the football community will say we're biased, but on paper, I don't, if you know, I said this after the game, if an alien had come down to Earth to watch that game the other night and had no recollection or any insight on the history of those two clubs, and they said which of these teams last won the treble, there would have been no question who they would have answered. The boys in the old gold.
Exactly. It was, honestly, it was a complete performance. I mean, we've had some good performances over the course of this season, but a lot of them have been maybe for 45 minutes or certainly towards the end of Nuno's reign. We was a 45-minute team, wasn't we? Or
it was less than that, wasn't it? It was like, stifling for an hour and then for one sucker punch in the last half, an hour?
Yeah. But it felt like a complete... All right, don't get me wrong. Man United had a little bit of play in the second half. But that's always going to happen at Old Trafford. Always. No, don't matter who you play.
Yeah, even Mike Dean tries to give him a helping hand. He'll have a kick at the end, didn't he?
Yeah, and it felt like a complete performance. And a performance that... I know we've spoke earlier before we came on air about when Fernandes hit the bar. But I always felt like we felt in control of the game.
Yeah. It's like what I said, it doesn't matter whether it's the Man United of old or the current United, 99% of home sides in the Premier League will always have at least a 10-minute period where they're looking to, they're throwing the kitchen sink at it. And it came, but like the majority of this season, we've just held up that wall, and Jose Sarr's just been unreal, hasn't he? I mean, less than £10 million we paid for that goalkeeper.
I think it's only about £6.5 million, wasn't it? Something ridiculous. And for me, comfortably better people than Patricio.
Yeah,
and that's not being disrespectful to Patricio, because he's a fantastic, or was a fantastic goalkeeper. Still is. Yeah. He's still playing for Roma, isn't he? But for me, Jose Sarr has just got more attributes about his game that make a good goalkeeper.
I think
his
it's just,
a lot better.
Yeah,
he commands his area a lot better. He's more of a presence off crosses and corners. Seems more comfortable having the ball to feet as well, so you can use him as that extra outfield player, so to speak. I just think his game brings a lot more than what Ruiz does.
I think it's just his him being so proactive in sensing danger, whereas Ruiz, as good as he was, just constantly backed himself to make saves. But in that last sort of season, he cost us more points than he won us. And I mean, at the moment, if it wasn't really for Jose Sarr, we wouldn't be anywhere near the league total points haul that we've had, would we? He's been sensational. Obviously, the Wolves football community, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, we've all been crying out for a signing. And Wolves announced one yesterday with Japanese international Hayao Kawabe. What did you make to the signing, Luke? Because £500,000 for a 26-year-old midfielder. Here's his one and only goal for Japan, coming in a 4-1 win against Tajikistan. I mean, he'll load a second. Just look at that. He's read the pass. It doesn't matter how bad the goalkeeper is. He's read the pass, and he's just, to be honest, that looked like goal, like one of the goals in our charity game. That standard looked so poor. And he ran away celebrating like me. He looked unfit. £500,000. Is he another Enzo Lloydiso?
It's just a moneymaker. To sell some shirts in Japan, he won't play no more than 10 games for. I don't think he'll play more than 5.
I quoted Enzo Lloydiso, or however you pronounce it. I don't think he'll play one competitive fixture for Wolves. He might play this weekend just to maybe try and Wolves, I've already jinxed it. He might get some minutes this weekend.
No.
But even then, I think that would be like really extravagant. I don't see... Obviously, like I said, it's a money-making scheme. And if on the back of him being a Premier League player, will Wolves probably make more than £500,000 back in a year's time? I mean, he might cover Moutinho and Jimenez's wages for a couple of weeks with the sell-on that we do for him when he does finally go. But it's not the signing that we're screaming out for, is it?
Nah, not at all. It makes no sense. I really can't get my head around it. But you watch now, we've said that he'll probably come and he'll be like prime Zidane.
Yeah, we've gone quite negative early on with this, and I was thinking this earlier that You know, you look at some teams' recruitments in the years gone by. I mean, I don't know how much Leicester played, but Leicester paid for Kante back in the day, but I can't imagine it was much more than £500,000. Hopefully it goes that route, but, you know, the negativity, pessimistic Wolves fans that we are, we're not optimistic about this one. Bruno Lage in his press conference today said, via Tim Spears' tweet, in regards to, will he take the FA Cup seriously? Bruno Lage says, I come with a big ambition to win titles for Wolves. That's my target. On Sunday, I'll put out our best team to try and win the game. It's a big statement, but one that could really hit him back in the face, couldn't it? If he doesn't put out a strong enough side to beat a Sheffield United side that 8 points off the playoffs with four games in hand.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Bruno. I like the way he talks. I do like the way he talks about the game. I always sense that he's just being honest and real in the words that he's saying. But it is a big statement to make. I came to Wolves to win titles. Let's not even count the Premier League.
He ain't talking about intercontinental titles, people. He's talking about proper football titles here.
He doesn't mean the Asia Cup.
No.
He means the Carabao Cup, the FA Cup. That's a big statement to make. Because, I hope he means it, and I hope he sticks by it, because
yeah,
I love a cup run. Absolutely love a cup run.
You know, what's the saying? Winning mentality, winning breeds winning, something along them lines. We none of us want a Nuno against Southampton last season, where he pretty much routed off the FA Cup, which I tried to understand why he did it, which there was never really a chance that we were going to win the FA Cup with that squad, were we? And you don't know what his contract said in regards to, you know, the higher you finish, the more, you know, bigger payoff you'll get. Or if he didn't know that he was going to get sacked at the time, you know, the saying about the higher up in the league you finish, the more money you get from the FA, the Premier League, in regards to TV money and whatnot. So maybe he was thinking, you know, the further we finish last higher up in the league, that we've got more of a transfer budget in the summer. Obviously, he got sacked. But like I said, we just want a cup run, don't we? We're in a good position in the league where we've got a bit of a cushion on the relegation places at the moment. And I don't even want to have that conversation, but we still need to pick up a few more points to be really comfortable where we can properly focus on an FA Cup run.
And I think we're in a position now where we could be looked at as a strong cup team. You know, it's not like we're sort of fighting relegation every season or sort of yo-yoing between the Championship and the Prem. I think it's safe to say we're an established Premier League team. And any Premier League team that is in that sort of 8th to 14th bracket, you've got to be confident of a quarter final every couple of years or every third year or something.
Yeah,
because you know we're strong enough to be that sort of team now. And who don't love a good cup run? Like, we was talking about it last night. The way that the FA Cup is disrespected nowadays, it's sad.
Yeah, it really ever since is Man sad. United went to Brazil.
Yeah. It is. Ever since then, it has felt different. I don't think the Wembley semi-finals have helped it either.
No, I mean, that was like a... I'm going to give my own unpopular opinion here. Semi-final should be at neutral grounds.
No, genuinely should, though. Like when we played Arsenal in 96, was it?
Yeah, 97, 98.
97, 98. At Villa Park, Wolves, Arsenal, even like Arsenal, Sheffield United at Old Trafford, neutral venues for me all the way.
So one of the most like sort of iconic FA Cup semi-finals in my sort of generation was Man United Arsenal at Villa Park with that Ryan Giggs extra time goal. I mean, I think the Man United fans was on the pitch and when Giggs scored because you know proper middle of the country, neutral venue. You can't have it much fairer, can you?
No, not at all. But money talks, doesn't it? Money talks, and
that's always been the biggest problem. Is that there's that much money in the Premier League now that there's no prestige apart from the historical value of winning the FA Cup. So
no, not at all.
The big sides don't use their main squads until the latter rounds when there's an actual sniff of a trophy to put something on that manager's CV.
What do you think about if the FA Cup was to award a Champions League place instead of a Europa League place?
I think you'd see a lot more teams putting out stronger sides from early on, specifically like you know, especially like some Wolves, Leicester, Villa. Yeah. I mean, Tottenham would go fully out for that, I think, because I think they're pushing for that fourth place. But there's that many teams who could finish fourth this season that it's a bit of a lottery. I think we all want that bit of extra zest in our transfer window this month, just to give us that bit more of a push, but I think we might just fall short. But I really think the Europa place is definitely plausible this season. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, we're certainly in the hunt, and I think even if we don't succeed in getting the Europa League, if come sort of March, April, when it's coming towards the end of the season, if we're still in with a sniff, say 5-6 points away from the Europa League, I personally think, and many will disagree, but I personally think we need to look at that as being a successful season.
Yeah.
You
want to be in the hunt, don't you? Like, I think one of the things that really disappointed me in the Nuno era was how close we were to getting fourth place that second season, was it?
Yeah.
And then you drop points away at Burnley, you lose to Sheffield United, that Arsenal home fixture where, did we lose 2-3?
We got
battered, but like we'd done a number on Arsenal so many times. I just think the players thought, oh, we'll just turn up and do these again. But did we finish a point at the Europa League that season, or was it goal difference to Tottenham? I mean, it was just so frustrating because of how close we were. But like you just said, if we can be in the hunt with 3 or 4 games to go, hopefully with Pedro Neto back fully fit at that point, because I think he's going to be massive towards the end of our season. Obviously, Wolves released the pictures yesterday of him back out on the grass doing various running exercises. Wolves did release pictures of Johnny Otto back in the middle of November doing the same sort of exercising, and I don't think he's really close to a first team return as such yet. So you're still looking mid-February, earliest before I think Neto's smelling a match day squad, never mind starting. So he's going to be massive come March, April, isn't he?
It's a shame he's been out for so long. It really is. I mean, we saw what he's capable of before he got injured, and I just think he's absolutely fantastic. Comfortably my favourite player at the club. And I love Traore. But Neto, what a player.
I think he will suit Bruno's system a lot more than what Adama does. I think that's the reason why Bruno isn't sort of waterboarding him at Compton to sign a new contract, because I think the way that Adama plays, and I think this is unfortunate and a massive reason for why he hasn't got big statistical assists, is that we just don't have enough bodies in the box. And Bruno wants us to be more narrow as a front three, interchanging Trinquet, Podence, Neto with Raul in the middle. That'll suit that system more. I think they're more sort of, you know, pattern plays, 1-2s, balls through balls over the top. Whereas Adama, he's just hogged the touchline and bombed balls in the box. Just like there's nothing wrong with that, but because obviously we scored from one of his crosses on Monday night. But I think if you haven't got sort of wide men who are naturally centre forwards, like obviously Podence, Trinquet, aren't that, they haven't got an attacker's instinct. So when Adama ever does get into good wide areas and puts ball in the box, they're never in the right area.
No.
Whereas I think Neto has the ability to beat men, play players through. If you look at Pedro Neto's assist to Fabio Silva at home to West Ham last season, Adama hasn't got that in his locker. So if we can get good money for Adama, it makes complete sense for Wolves to sell him this window. Obviously, Bruno made the comment in today's press conference, when you want to make the next step and you sell your best players, the next step never happens. It's another sort of nudge towards the board, isn't it, that they need to back him or...
The camera goes off. And I keep getting caught. Sorry, mate. The only thing that concerns me about Neto is how will he return after such a lengthy injury?
Yeah.
So the only thing that concerns me. Well, back to Bruno's comments. What concerns me there is, obviously, he's got his view. If you want to take the next step, can't sell your best players. But when Fowlson see the pound signs, are they going to fold and sell our most valuable players?
That's the key thing. They massively shot themselves in the foot with the comments about competing with Man City and competing in Europe. I understand the comments they made. They have to be ambitious because, obviously, ambition is a nice selling point to bring marquee players like Ruben Neves. Like they must have told them this was the project. And maybe that was the project at the time. But I don't know about you. Every January, I'll make New Year's resolutions, and my New Year's resolutions change after about a couple of weeks. So, a year or so after a pandemic and all the losses that Fowlson have occurred, you can understand why them sort of changing their model to, you know, being self-sufficient. It's not what fans want to hear, but I think we could be a lot worse run club. And I think if it's likely that Adama's going to go this month, isn't it? I made the comment earlier that I think Wolves should just take the gamble and wait until the summer. Mm. I still think they can get reasonable amounts of millions of pounds for him.
Yeah.
And if he has a good, if he can get us into the Europa League places.
Even if you wanted to really take the gamble and think, you know what, fuck it, we'll risk losing him on a three.
We only paid £18 million for him. So the people saying that we need to sell him now to get £22 million. So four £4 million profit. We're going to lose like £20 million on Cotrone. So just take the gamble and lose the money on Adama. If he gets into Europe, then that's covered. The loss, isn't it? I think
if we did take the gamble and say, then Bruno's had a summer transfer window as well. Neto will hopefully be back firing on all cylinders. You'd like to think Raul will be fully fit as well. So I still don't think he is. Or another striker has been brought in the summer. We could realistically finish above Tottenham anyway.
Yeah.
So even from Adama's point of view, from a career move point of view, could we take the gamble? And right, the gamble is at the end of next season, finish sixth. Spurs could easily finish eighth.
Antonio Conte is a great coach, but I've not seen anything since he's coming to make me think these are a serious contender for top four.
Did you watch him against Chelsea the other day?
I just saw the Ben Davies own goal. I mean,
absolutely terrible.
Harry Kane is nowhere near firing.
No,
Dele Alli is not the same player that he once was. I don't think they've got. I think our fully fit starting 11 is better than their fully fit starting 11.
I think our defence is, because I don't think much of Davison Sanchez. Think much of Eric Dyer.
Since Vertonghen and Alderweireld have left, I think they're so poor at the back that they're there to be got at every single game.
Even you look at the right backs, Emerson Royale, terrible. Doherty, average. And Aurier.
Yeah. And I mean,
Aurier's okay, but even he doesn't fill you with great confidence, does he?
And then you got the obviously Dean Mars in the comments, and this is like sort of being published quite a lot in on the social media channels that Tottenham are eyeing Adama up to play wing back. I mean, I said in our group yesterday he's had one good game at right wing back for us, and that was the Man City 2-0 where he pocketed Sterling for an hour and then bagged two in the last half an hour. But he ain't a wing back. He'll never be a wing back.
No, never in the month for Sundays. Not as his main position. Like you touched on, the odd game. Maybe so, 20 minutes just to cover an injury or something, but as his natural position. And I think Dean mentioned it in his comment. Surely that's not appealing for Traore. He doesn't seem like the sort of player who would be eager to play right wing back.
Unless it's purely money orientated, why he wants this move. And to be honest, I don't really begrudge any footballer going for for big money nowadays, because that's just the life, isn't it? We'd all take a higher paid job tomorrow if it was put on available. It's disappointing, but I'd like to know how much wages he actually is on Wolves, because apparently he wants to be the highest earner. But let's put it on another sort of point. Is he on more wages than Fabio Silva?
Well, I reckon Fabio's had a fair whack, you know.
There's wild rumours about the wage that he's on. I mean, the strong rumours about him being on more money than what Cody is. I mean, if that's the case, then is Adama on more than Fabio? Because I love Fabio. I thought he was key to our goal on Monday night. But if you're Adama and, you know, you've got so much potential marketing value, and you know yourself that you've got talent, you're gonna want to be one of the top five earners at the club.
Yeah, you can certainly see why Adama's asking for the money from his point of view, because he's an exciting player. He's very exciting. You know, he probably gets more column inches and more discussion than any other of our players. So yeah, you can see why you would ask for it. But then the other flip side of the coin is, and I'm a big defender of Traore, but if you look at his goal contributions, there's no argument. You can't be demanding to be the highest earner as a right winger when you've got zero goals and assists this season.
Can't say fair in that. Obviously, our resident tactical analyst Gully has just provided a quick comment saying wing back works for Adama Traore, simplify his game, get it wide and cross, best in the world. I don't know. He must be taking the piss. Is that Barcelona in him? And he just best in the world at crossing. I mean, it's each to their own. Thank you for your comment, Gully.
Cheers, Gully.
It's gonna be an odd month, I think, in regards to this transfer window, because if we were to sell Adama early, then you'd hope that some incomings would, you know, some sort of domino effect would fall after that sale. But I think, I mean, and I know what I would be doing if I was in Tottenham shoes, I'd be going right till the last day of the window and trying to hardball an even cheaper deal.
Yeah. And Daniel Levy, he ain't no muggy when it comes to a transfer deal.
No, I mean, he's absolutely played Harry Kane a kipper. And Harry Kane, if you're going to let your brother be your agent, that's your fault for the situation that you're in now, in my opinion. This Sunday, 2 p.m, Sheffield United at home in the FA Cup. Let's just quickly just have a talk about previous years gone by for Wolves in the FA Cup. What sort of tell us some of the goals that for you that sort of stand out? What's the some nice goals that you remember growing up supporting the boys in Old and Gold?
Growing up, one of the best FA Cup games, my favourite FA Cup early memory, even though I didn't go to the game, was Leeds away. Beautiful cup game. You know, they're a higher club. I mean, that was a proper Premier League club then, and we was that big Championship club. But to go to Elland Road and beat them on that day was amazing. I remember I was at my grandma's that day and sort of listening to it on the radio, checking in on the teletext. And when they got that penalty, it was like, that's it. We're out of the cup. It's been a nice run.
You just caught a glimpse of him there towards the end. I mean, let's quickly look at the goal again. I mean, people don't rate Carl Robinson, but that's a through ball, that is.
Yeah, it's a great pass, that is. Look at that.
I thought that first touch from Goodman wasn't the best, but the way he's dinged it over Nigel Martinelli, and as you see, number 12, Robbie Keane, giving away that penalty at the end, and you think, bloody hell, we've cocked this up, Robbie. And there's that clip, isn't there, of Keith Curl grabbing Jimmy Ford, that's a bank round
the throat. That is a proper cup tie, that is. An established Premier League team against a sort of big Championship team, very much like what we've got the weekend, Wolves and Sheffield United, but we're fortunate enough to be in the position of the established Premier League team now. But obviously that took us into a semi-final as well.
Yeah.
And come on, for Wolves to be in a semi-final, as a 10-year-old kid, when I started supporting Wolves when I was like six, but it was shit.
Yeah, getting that far in an FA Cup was just unreal, wasn't it? I remember everyone sort of queuing for the train at Wolverhampton train station over to Aston. I mean, you know, I'm little anyway. I swear, how old was I? I think it was 97, so I would have been like 9 or 10. And how small I would have been then, my parents put me in the overhead luggage compartment. That's how small I was. That's how, like, it was. I just remember little things like that. And then obviously Christopher Ray broke our hearts.
My God. That's the one thing that annoys me the most about the game. Because obviously with who Mark McGee started up front was very, very annoying. But at the time, I had Ian Wright, Nicholas Anelka, Dennis Bergkamp, Ray Parler. Was David Platt still there that season?
Did you say Overmars then?
Nah, I said Ray Parler. But if Overmars was there as well.
Overmars played.
All those players and Christopher Ray.
Oh, no.
Breaks our hearts.
Yeah. Patrick Vieira burst through the midfield, didn't he? Yeah. Sad day, really. Because, like, the atmosphere that day, and obviously, I think, did Steve Bull have a chance towards the end as well? I know Don Gummer missed, like, a really half good chance. David Seaman spilled it, and he just didn't fall right from put it in the net.
Yeah, it's. I think Arsenal deserved to win on the day, to be fair, if you've watched the game back. But it was frustrating. But, you know, it was nice as a young lad just to experience Wolves playing in such big games.
Yeah.
Another good memory of mine in the FA Cup was Wolves v Newcastle at home.
Dean Martin in the comments has just said that. Like I said, just a massive. That was another one, wasn't it? Proper Molyneux atmosphere, underdog mentality. Newcastle had some seriously top players. Then obviously Shearer played, Bellamy, Norbert, Solano. Shay Given was a top keeper back then.
Class Given was. Under the lights as well. On the telly.
You under the lights, you can't beat it.
You can't. There's something magical about it, mate. But again, being that bigger championship club, and we always aspired to be in the Premier League, didn't we? And we thought that was our rightful home. So when we got cup ties like this, it was like, come on, this is where we show the world that Wolves do belong in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And Newcastle, like you said, the players they had and the positions they was finishing around that sort of era were massive. Absolutely massive. It would be like in today's money, somebody like Nottingham Forest beating Tottenham.
Yeah.
And I remember, because we went 2-0 up, didn't we?
Yeah. And it was touching on what you were going on there about trying to make it, you know, Wolves showing just how good we actually are. We had big players in our team, and Paul Ince obviously scored the first, I think. You know my feelings on Mark Kennedy. I think he was massively underrated Premier League winger for me. He got the second. That was probably one of my favourite sort of counter-attacking goals before the Nuno era. Matt Murray just lobs one to Sean Newton. Colin Cameron, I think. And then Sean Newton puts it across to Mark Kennedy. And I know you were going to touch on it. George and Dar's winner towards the end after Newcastle pulled it back to 2-2. Not the most aesthetically pleasing goal, but what a moment.
They all count. when Shearer had the penalty, you knew he was never going to miss. It was Alan Shearer.
Yeah.
That was their first goal, wasn't it? Then did the score again pretty much straight after.
Genus scored, didn't he? No, Genus got the first one back and then Shearer equalised, didn't he?
Was it the penalty that equalised?
Pulled back Bellamy or someone. It was one of the most softest penalties ever.
Was there was that the game when Les got cleared one off the line as well? But it was over the line.
I don't know. I don't know whether it being over the line, mate. I don't know. I'd have to watch it back. Yeah, I think Newcastle got a free kick from about 30 yards out, and then like someone did something, and the referee moved it forward 10 yards.
Yes.
The Shearer took the free kick on the edge of the box. I think Murray saved it, and then Les got cleared off the line after someone shot it. It was literally like, bloody hell, that was an FA Cup mom. And then obviously George and I went on to get the winner.
And that was the game when Bellamy was pointing to the Premier League badge as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Little rat.
He's got bad memories at Wolves, hasn't he, Craig Bellamy? And I think that was just, he had nothing else to do apart from trying tease a little bit. You touched on it a few minutes ago in regards to sort of FA Cup upsets and Championship sides beating Premier League sides. One of my favourite FA Cup goals, going back to the 90s as well, Andy Thompson away to Ipswich.
But it's Andy Thompson who's invited to let fly. Deflected. It's 2-0. Seven minutes to go to half-time, and Andy Thompson, who came so close in the first game at Molineux, twice there denied by Craig Forrest. Nothing that Forrest could do about it here.
Right out the training ground. Ferguson rolls it across to Thompson. He hits it there. I don't know whether it's John Watt who's trying to clear it, but it's straight from the training ground. There he hits it. It's David Linegan who's trying to head it clear, and all he can do is head it into the top corner. How you feel for a goalkeeper in a situation like this? He has got no chance, Craig Forrest. Look at that. Couldn't have picked his spot.
I couldn't give two hoots about that deflection. That's just one of my favourite Wolves goals, the free kick routine, that Sky Sports commentary, that Sky Sports little image that goes around with the goal. Yeah.
Even the noise. Like,
just
nostalgia, ain't it, mate? Nostalgia.
Wolves winning 2-0 away at a Premier League side. I think Lee Mills got the second. I say long ago. I mean, I'm fully old.
God, that must have been about 94,
95, 6. Yeah, that was those years, definitely. Yeah, we drew 1-1 at Molineux, and then we went to Portman Road in the midweek on the telly, back when, like, having a big massive fuck off Sky dish on the side of your house.
Another good cup tie. Remember when we drew with Tottenham away from home?
Yeah, Don Goodman scored, didn't they?
Yeah, and then we lost in the
red bag,
didn't we?
Yeah, I think they beat us like 3-4-0, yeah, didn't they? I think like Teddy Sheringham got one. And but I remember, like, the snow that came down at White Hart Lane that day. Yeah. I think it might have been like an orange ball that Goodman scored. I think there was like a defensive, like, calamity from, like, it might have been Clive Wilson for Tottenham, the left back. And Goodman literally just threw himself in, didn't he? And he was just like, bloody hell, we've got a draw away at Tottenham back at Molineux.
Yeah.
But I think I think most Wolves fans will class that massive upset over Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup on penalties. Everyone remembers the game. Everyone remembers Don Goodman scoring the winner. But in regards to sort of penalties throughout history, is there any better one?
Pressman against Jones. Get in.
Well, you won't get a better penalty than that in a penalty shootout. You could have two goalkeepers in there that would have trouble saving that.
I mean, you just don't save those.
That is the best penalty shootout I've ever watched in my life. I can't think of many better penalty shootouts than that.
Definitely not.
Not Wolves related.
Not Wolves related. I mean, there might have been like longer scoring penalty shootouts. I know, like, Man United, Villarreal was something like, was it 2019? Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Wolves were dead and buried. We were dead and buried. All of our best penalty takers had missed. Andy Thompson had missed. Robbie Dennison had missed. It's like, we were dead and buried, and then that bloke with a mullet comes up for Sheffield Wednesday and then just smashes up the bar. I think he nearly landed up in Mars. See it in S3.
It was very poetic, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Chris Bart-Williams missed again after the first...
Because he missed... Was it right at the end of the game in the first...
Yeah.
In the original?
Yeah, it was really sort of 80 minutes onwards, wasn't it? Paul Jones guessed the right way, and then... In this penalty shootout, I would have just downloaded the whole penalty shootout earlier and just put it on right now, just so we could properly revisit it.
Like, for any Wolves fans that are sort of like newer generation, watch that penalty shootout, Wolves v Sheffield Wednesday. Was that about 94? I'm just saying 1994.
We'll go mid-90s.
Mid-90s. Wolves v Sheffield Wednesday. Penalty shootout. You will struggle to see a better penalty shootout.
I mean, that I was just thinking about that game then. Wolves scored off a corner that game. Front post, knock on, David Kelly at the back post. Just like you don't see, just such ugly scoring corners like that nowadays, do you?
Nah. Everything's got to be intricate and pretty, hasn't it?
Yeah. Four short passes and then just one lump into the box instead of just getting lumped in from the 26 years ago yesterday, one of the greatest goals ever, not just greatest FA Cup goals, Steve Ball scoring this header from outside the box. It's just ridiculous. It beggars all physics. How has he scored with his head on the bounce from like 20 yards out?
It's just a proper Tipton goal, that is. It's just Tipton through and through. What you do over the park with your mates. You know, when you're just having a bit of a laugh and you're a bit tired and the ball bounces up, you're like, fuck off. Not as a professional footballer in a local derby in a cup tie.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, I ain't going to over-egg it too much. I mean, I think Ian Bennett was well-renowned for being around my height in the sticks. But just the velocity that he had on that header from like 20...
The audacity to try.
It's like what I said to you off air, that Messi and Cristiano don't even dream about goals like that. I know Cristiano did that bicycle kick a few years, but it just beggars belief how you can get that much oomph on the bounce with a header. What anybody else would have tried to like chest it and try to just get a shot away, but nah, ball, nut, replay, scored in injury time in the replay. That's why he's the goat for Wolves, isn't it, really?
Exactly, because it's just that Tipton mentality, are you? I'm just going to header this ball from 25 yards into the back of the net.
Just utterly ridiculous. Like I said, in a local derby, in the FA Cup, it deserves more plaudits. It should be in every FA Cup highlight reel.
Yeah.
BBC, ITV, BT Sport, they need to pull the finger out.
If you think, how much football have you watched in your life? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours. How many headers have you scored from outs? Have you seen scored from outside the box?
It's
not happen.
If anyone in the comments section can tell me another game where a player scored with a header from outside the box.
Yeah, tag the Fancast on Twitter or Instagram with a goal in professional football where it was a header scored from outside the box. Can't be that many.
No. Let's get back to the game on Sunday. Obviously, Bruno Lage says he's going to put out a strong side, but where do you see him making changes, if any?
I think he'll change the goalkeeper. I think he'll start Silva. I think he will bring in maybe one of the lads. When do we lose Saïss? Have we lost him now?
Yeah, he's already in Moroccan training camp now.
So let's just think who's going to play at the back.
Wolves recalled Toti Gomez from Grasshopper. Do you think he could? I think he's a left-sided centre-back. Do you think he could feature this weekend?
Possibly. Or would he go Kilman on the left, Cody in the middle, Sanderson on the right side of defence?
Yeah, I think we'd all like to see Dion getting minutes this weekend, wouldn't we?
Yeah, especially at home. Local lad, FA Cup. Would it be Dion's home debut for Wolves?
I believe so. I know he played against Villa in the Carabao Cup, didn't he?
Yeah.
And obviously he's played for Wolves in like the Asia Cup. I can't really remember him featuring for the first team.
No.
Definitely not at Molineux.
I mean, I think looking at his words today, I can't be making too many changes. Maybe three or four. One being Ruddy will start. Silva will start. Sanderson will start. And I'm torn between Dendonka and Jordan.
Yeah, that's the area for me on how serious Bruno's taking this fixture on what our centre midfield is.
Sorry, João Cancelo has just scored an absolute screw. Hold on. I don't think he's got it. Oh, He's done a Sterling. Remember Sterling against Italy?
Oh, yeah, was he Ben Dunn for that? The old flipping town. Bloody hell. Yeah, that was a moment that was. The old flipping ball went up and Sterling, that side net in.
I know. I'm still adamant that went in. Still adamant it went in. But yeah, I think he'll make three or four changes. But me personally, I'll still want it to be kept strong. I wouldn't make any more than three or four.
Yeah.
Because this is a banana skin, this is.
With Falcao, the likes of Keanu, however, come back in.
Nah. Don't rate him. I don't know why I wouldn't. I'd put Sanderson ahead of him in the squad.
You're not going to put Sanderson right wing back, are you?
He's played there before.
No, I mean, but I think both of us would like him to be centre back on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's why I was suggesting Hover, really, to give Samado a bit of a rest. But it's also say, how serious is Bruno taking this game? Because for me, centre mid needs to be strong and we need two decent wide men if we are going to start Fabio.
So,
Trincao needs to put in some sort of performance for me. I thought we carried Trincao and Jimenez to a degree on Monday night. I know Jimenez is having to come a lot deeper in order to link up play, but he's just not in the right areas where we need him, is he?
No, not at all. You've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's come back from a life-threatening injury, you know, so fair play to him for even stepping onto the pitch. Something's not right, though. Can't put my finger on it, but something's not right. I seen something the other day, and the minutes that Raul's played since he's come back from this injury, I think he's played more minutes and scored the same amount of goals than what Fabio Silva did whilst he was injured.
Yeah.
And look at the abuse Silva was getting.
Yeah, the thing that worries me the most with Jimenez at the moment is I think there's times where he looks disinterested, whereas in years gone by, when he's sort of having a quiet game or things aren't really clicking for him, he was still angry enough to be like chasing constantly. I don't think he's been doing that recently.
Yeah, I'd agree. His work rate, right? He seems to like it's dropped 25% or something. Something just isn't right. This isn't Jimenez that we had two seasons ago. It's a different player, and I get he's come from a life-threatening injury. I get it. So I'm not being disrespectful in what I'm saying, but at the same time, conversation's got to be had. You know, we can't just sort of sit back and say for the next 6 months, yeah, but if actually it's got away at Arsenal, there's got to come a time where you have the conversation and you decide, do you persist with him or do you replace him?
Yes.
I hope to God he scores Sunday. He plays, scores. I hope next league game, plays, scores. I hope he scores every time he's on the pitch.
Yeah. But I think there's been a few moments where Bruno's looked a bit annoyed with Jimenez, and Bruno has like come out in the media in the last like few days saying that he'd like to get another striker in this month to give Jimenez more competition and maybe free up. I don't want Fabio to go out on loan. I think it's too much of a gamble. I just think if he goes out on loan and it doesn't work out, any sort of future transfer fee, we'll never get anything back to where he needs to be. I think he just needs to just keep learning his trade here and just keep learning off Jimenez and just keep coming off the bench, doing what he did against Man United, and hopefully getting to a run of goals in cup competitions, which is why it's key that he plays on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, that's a fantastic point. If we can get a little bit of a cup run going, let's say we get to the quarterfinals, that's four ties, is it? Four ties to the quarters. That's four very good opportunities for him to get some good minutes under his belt. And I think a tie against Sheffield United at home is perfect for Silva in regards to his confidence, because you'd like to think we'll be in control of the game. You'd like to think we're going to have more of the ball. You'd like to think we'd create the most chances. He's not playing against Man City centre-halves or Liverpool's or Arsenal's or even your Everton's. And, you know, Sheffield United, with all due respect, you know, they're not at a level as he would be facing in the Premier League.
Yeah, he needs to make the most of these minutes and
definitely at least
look threatening throughout. I mean, obviously, we've still got to create in the chances.
Yeah, of course.
But I think, like you said, with the team that we should be putting out as a minimum, you'd think would be strong enough to beat the Sheffield United side. So on that, what's your score prediction for the game on Sunday?
2-0 Wolves.
2-0
Wolves. When you've watched cup ties in the past and you've had a Premier League team like Southampton or Everton's or whoever, and they've played a team from the Championship and they've just made it nice and routine, nice and easy. Just dispatch them 2-0, do the 90 minutes, everyone goes home, and then we'll watch the cup draw on Monday. That's what I'm hoping for.
I know Sheffield United have been a bit patchy in the league, but like I mentioned earlier, 8 points off the playoffs with 4 games in hand. They're still definitely in the hunt. Obviously, they'll be missing Morgan Gibbs-White on the weekend, who got nominated for the Championship Player of the Month the other day. So, like I said, hopefully we've got enough to beat them, and I'll be predicting a Wolves 2-1 win. Hopefully, it won't be a draw because we go straight to extra time and penalties, and we don't really want that lottery, do we?
No, you want to avoid that. But it is a banana skin. I mean, the games that we touched on earlier, Wolves Newcastle Championship side against the established Premier League side, Wolves Leeds, Wolves Tottenham, the same. 2 out of those 3 games, we won as the underdog.
Yeah. I mean, it's 5 years ago today that we beat Premier League Stoke in the FA Cup. So, I mean, these things happen. It's all about attitude and... Is it attitude or aptitude? I don't know. They've got to go into this game with the right mentality, and hopefully Bruno puts out a strong enough side. And on that note, thanks for everyone who's tuned in tonight. Continue to support the Fancast, a part of the 90 Minute Network. Hopefully we'll be back after the Sheffield United game with a win to do a podcast about. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care, everyone.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?